Sorry for the delay. Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council. I am Councillor Steve Gazzard, Chairman of Exmouth Town Council. This is a formal meeting of Exmouth Town Council and we shall follow the agenda which you have all received, which has been published on the Council's website. The meeting is being recorded and an audio recording will be uploaded to the Town Council's website in due course. We do have members of the public, we've got no press, in attendance as observers, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to you all. Only those who have registered with the Town Clerk to speak in advance will be given the opportunity to speak during public participation, and you will not be permitted unless invited to do so by the Chairman to speak at any other time. Thank you. Good. We haven't got any members of the public.
Nobody's registered to speak.
No. We have nobody registered to speak, so we move on to the council minutes. Apologies, please, Lisa.
Had apologies of absence from Councillor Frank Cullis, Councillor David Paul, Councillors Joy and Alan Whipps, Councillor Lynn Elson, Councillor Pauline Stott, Councillor Tony Woodward, and County Councillor Jeff Trail has also sent apologies. And I note that Councillor Brian Toy isn't here, or Andrew Coleman. Has anybody had apologies from them?
I believe Councillor Brian Toy wasn't sure whether he would be
well. Okay, that's fine. That's it, Steve, thank you.
Nothing from Councillor Andrew Cole.
Okay.
I think he's on holiday.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Can I give a warm welcome to our speakers tonight, who are from East End District Council, portfolio holder Councillor Jack Rowland, and EDDC Car Parking Services Manager Richard Eastall, who will be talking to an item on the agenda a bit later on. With your permission, I would like to move that up the agenda after item 5, if that is okay with everyone else. Thank you. Thank you very much. We move on to item 2, council meeting minutes, to confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held at the Town Council meeting on the 9th of January 2023, which has been attached to your agenda. Is it your wish to... Okay, proposed by Councillor Maddie Chapman. Who would like to second?
Councillor Fred Cagle.
Sorry, Councillor Fred Cagle. All those in favour, please show. Thank you. We move on to item 3, matters arising from the council minutes for information only. Anything to report, Lisa, please? No. Thank you. Item 4, declarations of pecuniary interests and dispensations. Members to declare any interests that they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Are there any members that have any declarations?
Councillor Joe Whibley.
Councillor Joe Whibley.
Thank you, Chair. As East End's licensing chair, I have an interest in item number 8, the stroke trading policy consultation. I'm happy to say a few words at the start of that, but I'll then let you make your own decisions sort of responsibly. Okay.
And that's noted, thank you.
Thank you, noted. Anybody else? No? If you do think of anything during the meeting, please raise your hand and then we'll take note of it. Thank you. So we move on to item 5, to resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part 2. Well, we don't have any that I'm aware of.
No.
So we'll move on to item 7, which is to receive a update from EDDC's portfolio holder, Councillor Jack Rowland, and EDDC Car Parking Services Manager, Richard Eastall, on what is being proposed by East End District Council regarding the van lifers using the lorry stroke coach park at Estuary Side. So, which gentleman you would like to go first? You? Yeah.
Councillor Jack Rowland,
please.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everybody. For those that I've never met before or seen before, my name is Jack Rowland, and I'm the portfolio holder for finance. And since last May, the responsibility of looking after car parks now comes under the finance wing under the Eastern District Council. So I actually inherited some situations, and Richard Easthope, sort of car park services manager who joined us in August, so also relatively new, and also inherited this particular situation that is on the agenda tonight. Richard and I have actually visited the area on three occasions now. We took the opportunity as well this afternoon to visit the site and also speak to a number of people there that were available. I hope everybody's had a chance to read the report that we sent out, that went out with the agenda papers. So we're happy to answer any questions in connection with that. I felt it was really important that before East End District Council had a further report coming back to its cabinet to consider what action might need to be taken, it was important to consult with you as the Town Council, because obviously it's a situation within your own town, and you might have a number of different views about it, which I'd really welcome hearing what those views are this evening, because then it will help Richard put that information also into a report that comes to Cabinet, hopefully in the not too distant future before any final decisions are made. So happy to, if I can't answer a question, I know Richard will be able to. So, without further ado, hopefully everybody did read that report. So, if anybody's got any particular questions or comments, I'd love to hear them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Rowan. Have you got anything you'd like to add?
Well, not necessarily. I think Jack's done a good introduction. As he said, we both inherited the situation that's been ongoing at the Lorry Park, which has spanned through the lifetime of COVID. The works for the Nile Defence Scheme. So, like I say, it'd be great to hear your comments and thoughts on it. Obviously, we've come at it from lots of different angles, and it's something that we really considered and spoke about amongst officers at the council appointment, the update at the September cabinet meeting. So, as Jack said, it'd be good to hear.
Thank you for that. Can I just say that we really do appreciate you coming in and speaking to the Town Council, and obviously taking away any comments that we have. I'll open that up for any questions now. So, Councillor Brian Bailey, please.
Thank you, Chair. May I ask a question, Jack? I understand this is a particularly difficult situation. However, what type of legislation are you coming at this from? Are you coming from the Romany Gypsy Travellers community? Or are you coming it from people who are just coming here to visit Exmouth and staying there for nothing? Is there any clarification on hey, actually, there's various acts you have to comply with from me.
You'd like to answer?
Thanks for the question. I mean, the primary angle we're coming from is that before the regulations were lifted for a while the remedial work was being carried on, it was a designated paying coach and lorry park. The decision was made at that cabinet meeting to reinstate it as a paying coach and lorry park, but we're very conscious of the reasons why a lot of the van lifers are actually using that area. So we did want to see if we could find any alternative sites within Exmouth that were in the ownership of the East End District Council. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to find any. We did take on board advice as well from the planning department. And the other issue as well is, as you well know, there is an obligation on district council to provide a gypsy transit site within the district, and one has never actually been provided. So we need to be careful about how we're, under the Equalities Act, about how we're treating different people.
This is why I asked the question how you treat under that act, because there are various angles to that act. So you'll be treating them as travellers or as homeless people? Because it's all relevant, because if you're treating them as homeless people, you'd be given an obligation to house them.
They're not being treated as homeless because none of them have actually declared themselves as homeless.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on the conversations that have actually been had with them, because we also took some people from the housing department that have actually been along to speak to a number of people to find out what their circumstances are, to see if they did fall into the category of being asked to be placed on a housing list, or depending on what the circumstances were. And as I understand it, it's very much a lifestyle choice that they're making to do what they're doing at the moment. And I've got a lot of empathy with them, because a lot of them are actually working within the town. So I do understand the circumstances that they're in, but at the end of the day, we have a situation where they're now using a site where it's not regulated for them to be using.
May I come back to him for a second?
Yeah, and then I'd like to move on to somebody else. Thank you.
Pardon me. So the fact that they're not registered as homeless would not oblige you to find them anywhere to live. And I'm very sympathetic to their cause. I mean, lots of people can't afford houses, especially in this area, because of astronomical prices. And I'm very pleased that the majority are working in the town, which is great. But what I'm sure most of the councillors here want is a satisfactory conclusion for the van lifers and for the council and for East Devon. I'm sure that's what you'll end up with in the end. But it's a rather complex way of sorting it out, isn't it? Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Joe Wibney, please.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, thank you, Chair. I should confess, I guess is the word at this point, that I was one of the councillors that initially contacted. It was Jeff Young at the time when it was before it moved to Jack's portfolio. I was contacted by the van lifers and along with another few councillors. I really, really sympathised with them, and I think we need to, one of the first things that we did when we spoke about this was that we separated what's happening there from the travelling community, because it's not the travelling community. This was born of a desire to help what's becoming a growing number of people who either can't afford a house or who make a conscious decision so that in 2 or 3 years' time they might be able to afford a house by reducing their outgoings and living in a van. It is going to be a growing problem, because with the cost of living and especially with property prices here, it's not going to get any better. So, you know, as Jack, we're trying to do, we do need to find somewhere permanent. But this was not born of anything that was intended to open up the car park to Ward and Sundry. One of the things we spoke about initially was having some kind of permit to do this, whereby you need to prove that you lived and worked and registered with a doctor in the town, things like that, so that there was a link to the local area. I guess my question to, it's a bit of a provocative question, but would we rather they were on the car park or spread around the town on the street? I mean, that's not really a question to you, really. It's a question for everybody to ask themselves. You know, I think where they're all in one place and people like the housing officer can visit them, I think until we can sort something else out or until further plans are made personally, I think that it's a good thing. Those are my thoughts. Thank you. Sorry,
well, Did you want to come back on that, Jack? Or just, no.
I don't know if Richard wants to mention something about the current health regulations. So.
Well, I had to, and I think that's the important thing here. At the moment, the van life is occupying the car park is essentially unauthorised use of council land, which is obviously a really dangerous precedent if it's allowed to continue in this way, because there's nothing to stop anyone else turning up at any of our other car parks, which we do have a really clear and firm process for, in terms of enforcement action that's taken if anyone occupies our car park without our permission. And I think the biggest concern is the way in which the land is used, and that's something that's come about through our discussions with colleagues in planning, is the way it is a car park and it should be used as that. And, brief concerns were also voiced around the motorhome offer as well. Obviously, that's a temporary arrangement, and where we allow motorhomes to park for to a certain number of days, which is trying to encourage tourism. But is that a change of use of the car park? Are we then turning it into a more... is it then being used for sort of residential use as opposed to that of the car park, which is primarily for parking vehicles and obviously overnight? So, the complications are there with the legal terminology and the definition of the use of the land. So, there is a dangerous precedent that could possibly be said about the use of the land, which is one we need to overcome as well.
Thank you, Richard. I've got people's names down. Can I take Councillor Tim Dunford, please?
Thank you, Chair. I was actually contacted by a local resident in Halston Road who actually overlooks the relevant lorry park, and that person was not particularly happy with the fact that the view had changed from being an estuary and lorry park view to a view of a what amounts to a temporary housing site. Having a look at, like all of us around the table, of course I'm sympathetic with the people who are living there, but as you just said, Richard, I think that we are in a situation where we need a proper regulated site, because you've got both fire regulations and we've been talking about sewage a lot recently, and I think this disposal of human waste and that kind of thing is quite an issue, as well as the planning regulations. The other thing is that people do seem to be living in very, very close proximity to one another there, and that worries me in terms of safety overall. So I think that's all I'd like to say, but I would like to say that it's a shame we haven't got registered public speakers here to talk their own, whether they be van lifers or whether they be other local residents.
Thank you. Councillor Maddie Chapman, please.
Thank you, Chair. How many vehicles are we talking about, Richard?
Approximately 23 vehicles on site today, but that does fluctuate depending on the season. I think you've got a cohort that have been on the site from the start, but that does does increase as the seasonally, I guess, as the weather gets better, and as the site becomes more notorious and more known. And without regulation, we can't limit the number of vehicles there. I could say you probably park 50 there at a squeeze, but I wouldn't mind to see anyone try to get out.
So you're saying that toxic is growing a bit. And how many are actually employed, do you know?
I don't know the answer to that question, no.
Yeah?
I
can't
tell the answer.
Okay. So, can I ask?
It's at the chair's discretion whether he'll allow a member of the public to speak in the meeting.
Ask the chair.
Are you
I live in the car park, so.
Okay, I would allow you to answer that one. So, would you like to come nearer? So, to the microphone.
So it's out of pretty much everyone that lives there. So there's quite a few residents here at the moment. There's probably only, I would say, 3 or 4 people that are in there that don't work.
Okay.
There's 3 people in the car park at the moment who recently moved in the car park as homeless. Currently, the rest of us leave every day, go to work full time. I'm a firebox engineer for Openreach. The rest of them do other jobs.
Okay.
So we come and go. We live in a council. We live in the area. We work. We pay taxes that we do by.
Sorry, Madden. Can I just say thank you for that information? Carry on, Madden.
I'm trying to just sort of get into this. We do have St John's Road and Mare Lane sites. Are they not obtainable for people? Also, Richard, have you looked at the condition of vehicles? Are they roadworthy? Are they kept up to date? What about water, waste, etc. on the site? And would it be if we have to move them from the site, that some could be in the car park and back camper down? Because part of that car park isn't used that much, is it? And the others could be St John's Road and Mare Lane. I'm just looking at, you know, do these residents know where they can go with their vans, and which would be a more permanent site? And I know the sites we've got, you know, that East Devon, I presume, on St John's Road, do we? Or is it private sites?
It's a private site.
They're licensed? Have we looked at those? That's really what I want to know, because if wherever they go, I think clean water, and wastewater, etc., needs to be monitored as well, rather than being on the estuary.
In terms of alternative sites, we were able to identify any as part of our, when we looked into this as officers from East Devon, so I mean one of the biggest barriers to that was the lack of a dedicated gypsy and traveller site, which we are advised to find and which have one of, which then automatically assumes that there is then not land available for the van lifers to occupy. So we don't have any dedicated land available that can be used. But I mean, in terms of dedicated facilities and the condition of vehicles, the lack of facilities is a concern, as it is with the motorhomes. The area is very clean and tidy, that's without a doubt. But in terms of where the waste is going at the moment, I wouldn't be able to answer that question. From all of the vehicles that are there. And in terms of the condition of vehicles, again, that isn't something that we have any involvement in any of our car parks. So from a purely car parking perspective, no, the condition of vehicles isn't something that we have any control over. Again, Camperdown, I'm not aware of the land that you refer to, but I think the same planning hurdles would apply in that situation as well, where there is an unmet demand for gypsy and traveller sites, and that should be the primary consideration, should we consider any available land that we have. And also there's lots of other demands on our land for EV charging points and for other uses as well for leased land as part of our estate's portfolio. So I'm not aware of any land that would be useful for that purpose. But in terms of, we do cater for motorhomes already on Queen's Drive Echelon and also Mare Road Car Park. There are dedicated paid spaces available for motorhomes in both of those locations. We're not looking to extend that offer at the current time, but there is paid for motorhome spaces available on a first-come, first-served basis with no restriction on the length of stay. That said, that is purely designed at the tourist market as it stands, and it isn't designed for long-term stays, because we would then run into the same hurdles with the planning and the use of land.
Thank you. Councillor Mike.
From Richard.
Councillor Mike Rosser, and I've got the phone.
Thank you. In your reports, you say that previous assessments have identified an unmet need for gypsy and traveller sites, which implies that there's no suitable land for van lifers. Yet in the local plan, it clearly says that the site has been identified. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I agree. Sites have been identified in the past, but they've never come to fruition. That's the point.
Okay. Well, I think they need to. Can I just add? Sorry, I don't know what's going on with this machine. Can I just add that I share Councillor Duffer's concerns and the other councillors who raised concerns about the disposal of wastewater, bearing in mind that this lorry park is next to an area of protected area for wildlife.
Thank you. Councillor Bruce, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I think it is very positive that what we've heard, that these individuals of Banlife are making a contribution to employment and thus some benefit for the town. And I think, as Councillor Whitby said, we have to consider whether they are there or spread around the town. And I recall at some point we were looking at, as Kempfan Task Force, we were looking at the improving the conditions in the Foxholes car park. And I wonder, Richard, whether you've had any thoughts of progressing. Predecessor Andrew Ennis was looking at that to see what could be done, and I wonder whether we could improve the Foxholes car park site and maybe move these van lifes onto an alternative site like that, because clearly the issue we face is to look for a proper regulated site, because as you rightly said, at the moment we have unauthorised use of council land. So I welcome your comments on that, Richard. Thank you.
Richard.
Yes, so through the draft motorhome policy framework policy that was agreed in September, there is provision for other sites to be suggested or put forward for motorhome parking, which can then be considered part of the task and finish forum by a group of local members. So that is now the decision making process for that. So it's then sort of, I guess it's for the local members to put that forward and to wish to consider that. So and I would be more than happy to feed into that process.
Councillor Brian Bailey, did you want to come back?
Yes, please. Thank you very much, Chair.
There's my water going down.
Have you considered approaching St John's campsite to see if they provide spaces? What concerns me, there's no such thing as a free lunch. The people that stay on holiday have to pay. The people who rent the buy houses. We're the greatest word in the world. Why should people stay there for nothing? This is my concern. This will be a concern of a lot of people. Well, I have sympathy for the fact they can't afford a house. Lots of people can't. My children can't. But they're not living on East Devon District Council land. So I think it sets a precedent which is could be quite potentially dangerous to the area, because we could become, as a camper on the seafront was, known far and wide, and people talk to us, it's beyond coping with, if you get my point. So, have you tried that at various campsites to see if they can be taken in?
Looking at potential other sites so far, has been within what is owned by Stenfield, within Exmouth. So it hasn't been extended further out to see what other private provision there might be, because we can see that within our remit to have to solve.
May I come back,
John?
Yeah, and then I'll go to the speaker.
I can't see why it's not in your remit. The problem is in your area, in your remit. Solving the problem, there's no end to a boundary as far as I can see of solving the problem. There was a proposed Cranbrook site, which was half finished many years ago. It's still not being used. That's not that far away for someone who travelled to work and they want to work in Exmouth. There are other places. And I feel, dare I say, a bit remiss of the cap of East Devon not to search elsewhere apart from their own land, because we all know there is nowhere. And to get somewhere, you have to buy more land, you have to get planning permission put in. Showers and all sorts of things, which are already in existing sites. So you save yourself a lot of anguish, a lot of time, a lot of money, and you help these people get somewhere decent to live with showers and water and washing facilities, which they haven't got at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'll take.
I'm happy to have a comment on that. I suppose it is where the council's remit, where does it end? It, 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 how I absolutely think that there may be private sites available for the van lifers to occupy, but I do believe to a certain extent that should be something that they decide they wish people were to move them on. If they wish to move in a group to a location, and they could be paying privately for that. And considering it is a life choice, I don't necessarily see that being the responsibility of the council to go that step further, because there'd be no end to.
The other side of the coin, if they were gypsies or travellers, they'd been gone by now. They'd been gone in 3 days.
See
my point?
Yeah.
Because East Devon would have done that.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Joe Whibley.
Cheers, thank you. Again, just going back to where this all started from, the notion that this is a situation where people don't want to be paying and effectively freeloading. That's not what's happened here. I don't think anybody who lives there, as I said earlier, the idea was that in an ideal world, we'd be able to find a site where a paid-for permit could be granted, which let this continue. There would effectively be a nightly charge. It wouldn't be £11 or whatever it is, you know, whatever the proposed thing is in the other site. But it would still be a payment for being there. Nobody wanted to freeload. Nobody expects a free lunch. And that was at the suggestion of the van lifers that I met. And I just think we need to be very, very careful of moving towards an attitude whereby we're blaming them for the situation they find themselves in. So for some of them, it is a life choice. Not for a lot of them. It is their life. And unfortunately, because of the way the car parks are regulated and all of these things, we weren't able to come up with anything like that, which is kind of why we find ourselves in this situation now. And it is an unfortunate situation. And as Jack's report outlines, you know, I can only sort of see it going one way, unfortunately. But if we can find anywhere, if somewhere miraculously appears, that would be great. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you, Jack. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yeah, just briefly, I think the site that's been found identified by the Gypsies and Travellers is not on East Devon land, so if East Devon Council can do that for one group of people living in most homes and caravans, then I think we should be able to do it for another.
Thank you. Are there any... Councillor Fred Cagle.
Thank you, Jack. Yeah. Some of my fellow colleagues have already identified there is two commercial sites in the town. We've heard from the gentleman that and Councillor Whibley that apart from three, they're all working. So what is wrong with using a commercial site?
I think you've already answered that.
Yeah, I think that was a rhetorical.
The point is, you know, it's not down to the district council to find another site, but there is a very valid question that was raised about the Gypsy and Traveller community. If we can do it for one group, why shouldn't we do it for another group? But in this particular instance, in this town, there is two commercial campsites with facilities that you have to pay a charge.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Any other councillors that wish to speak? Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Can I just come back and say, yes, there are two campsites, and if that they are working in town and they find the charges too high, they can apply if they're registered on a registered campsite. Surely they can apply for assistance to pay to be there, and they will have the facilities. That's what I'm thinking about. Where they are at the moment, they have not got the facilities that every, you know, decent human being should have: water and, you know, disposable place, you know. And I think really, East Devon now needs to stop stop any more coming in and blocking that part of the car park on. And we help the residents that are there at the moment without allowing any more to come in and permanently park. Otherwise, we're going to have the whole of the Ash Street car park absolutely full of people, you know, that we can't support with the basic needs that human beings require.
I've got three more speakers. Councillor Ollie Davey.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I do appreciate the situation you're in here, Jack. You're between a rock and a hard place, really. I know you've tried to find alternatives. I just wondered whether the group themselves have been able to suggest any alternatives that would be acceptable to them, because certainly some of the people I've spoken to down there said they were willing to pay. They just needed a way to be able to do that legitimately. They don't want to be camping there either. They want a proper site and that can be made available. And I mean, others have mentioned that the caravan sites that are around Exmoor. But I'm going to go talk to some of the owners there to try and find out if there's some arrangement we could come to. But it's a shame that we couldn't manage to find some way of providing some special kind of license for what are, after all, local residents. They're not gypsies and travellers. I do understand that the lack of gypsy and traveller sites perhaps makes this difficult and suggest you're prioritising one group over another, but you're not really, are you? You know, it's a totally different group of people. I just feel as though you know, they should be treated in a different way. I wondered whether the group had been able to make any suggestions themselves as to what would be an acceptable solution.
Okay.
Not aware from conversations I've had with some of the people that are there, where they've actually explored that. I don't know whether the chair, because we have got a number of people that have arrived, although they didn't register to speak. I do recognise some of the people here that have come here this evening are from their side. So I don't know whether the chair would give them the opportunity to answer that particular point.
I think as this is such an important topic, I'm quite happy to give one with you the opportunity to speak. Could you come up nearer to the microphone, please?
Holly Bates is one of the residents who lives in the car park. She did actually email the council about all of the sites next month, like St John's Road and Pratt's Lane and all the rest of it. So we've actually tried to get into all of the campsites next month, and that failed. And that was when we was at Mail Lane car park, when we was getting parking tickets, because we did have to pay for yearly permits. We started getting parking tickets, and that is how we actually ended up in this car park itself, because we had no old scope, we couldn't get all these tickets, we couldn't afford the £11 a night, we couldn't afford the parking tickets, and the car park was empty, so we just went there. And that's how it started, we didn't have a free ride. So we tried to get into the car parks, all the campsites, and they say no. So that's a bit... where we are with it, really. I mean, you say about land, I mean, it's all this greenbelt land, the Clinton government states, he's allowed to go and build a load of houses on them, and that's for people to live in. So if you just section a tiny bit off and put bus on there and regulate it, charges, and put some sort of process in place, like the way people apply for council houses, they have to apply and go through a process. So no one can just turn up in the motorhome or camp and go, we want to live there because of how we're doing. What about if I got to live in, so I'm living in one of these houses because you're all in? It's exactly the same. So you could use your process that you've already got for putting people in housing, apply to us, which is apply to land, and you get permits that people have to pay for to live on that bit. That's because this is going to grow, this way of life is growing and growing. So if you get some sort of fee thing in place where you can view this as a test case, really, because once it's grown over the next few years, after the interest rates can keep going up, people lose their houses. This is, I think you should get in there early, to be honest.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So, I've got two more speakers, Councillor Bruce Desai and then Councillor Alex Sadiq.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to propose or suggest from members that we, East Devon, scopes out further details about the Foxhouse car parking site because it was originally considered as we didn't take it any further. So I'd like to propose, if I get these thoughts this evening from members, that we scope it out further to see what commercial type use could be made of it, given that, as Councillor Chapman quite rightly said, we do need facilities, and that does have facilities on site. So I put that forward now for further discussion, and I would hope that maybe I find a proposal or second or a proposal, and I'll leave it there.
Okay, I'll take Councillor Alex to do, and then I'll come back.
Is that on? I just wanted to tell, I wasn't entirely clear from the report what the next steps were and what the proposed timescales were for this, because clearly it's not an easy situation. I think we've heard from a lot of people. I really don't feel, it might feel like they've been there a long time, but I really don't feel we should be doing anything in haste here when there's clearly lots of things still to consider and think about and rule out. I think that's the least that these people are owed. So what, can I just ask, what are your timescales in your mind at the moment?
Jack or Richard?
Please. Yeah, there isn't a set timescale at the moment because first we wanted to take it one step at a time. One, I was keen to come along and do this consultation this evening to hear your views. But it is important that we do take those on board to enable Richard to produce another report to bring to a cabinet meeting probably next month in March for a decision to be made. That decision, even if a decision is made, I wouldn't like to preempt what that would be, but then there'd still be a time scale after that for any potential action to be taken. But that's probably for Cabinet to decide at the time when they've got that report.
Okay, have we got any Councillor Fred Cagle?
Yeah, I'd like to talk on what Councillor I haven't had that meeting with Bruce and others with Officer Andrew Ellison and County Councillor Christine Chan. We discussed about Foxhall's car park and turning it into a facility with power, water, waste disposal, etc. And that was, he was asked to scope it out, but it didn't happen. So I would gladly second Councillor Desai's proposal to make sure that we carry this forward at the very least to see if it's got some mileage from the East Devon District Council.
So you're seconding the
proposal?
Yeah, I'm just clarifying this, so thank you. Are there anybody that wishes to make any other comments?
Yes, just a point of information really, because in my role on Delft County Committee, I've actually asked for some information from them about whether anybody else across Devon has had van lifers and have tried to solve some of these issues that we have here. And I've discovered that in fact Totnes Town Council had involvement with van lifers. I haven't yet been able to establish exactly what has happened and where and how and all the rest of it. But I might suggest that perhaps Totnes be or Southampton District be contacted for their comments on this. What they've done to solve it.
Thank you.
Well, I can quickly respond to that. Yeah, no, I previously worked for Southampton, based in Totnes, so yeah, no, I'm very familiar with the circumstances. And again, their motorhome offer is very similar to ours, and they do stop short of offering facilities for a number of reasons for that, although there may be the demand for it. Obviously there's a lot of investment involved from the council to do that, and obviously you want to know that they're going to be used and used in the right way, and I think that's the biggest question in regards to facility site.
Thank you. And to be fair, I'll take Councillor Mike Ross, sir, and then
I'd like to ask on. The proposal from Councillor de Salles before the vote. We've got a proposer at the second, and I'd ask to move the proposal forward.
Okay, so we understand what the proposed.
Chair.
Jack Rowan.
Can I be clear in my own mind when you're talking about the particular car parks and the scoping documents, what the end result you're looking for? Because it seems to me that you're actually asking that to be a motorhome camper van facility. So is that any different to what certainly happened without the actual facilities in the Mayor Road car park, where overnight camper van and motorhome park is already being provided at a fee? So I just want to be clear in my own mind what the scoping document would actually involve.
Chair, can I answer?
I was just going to ask Councillor Bruce Tassaram as the mover. I'll come back to you.
Councillor Bruce Tassaram. I think it was recommended to use these facilities for the benefit of those who need them, basically. Andreas had scoped a lot of areas, and he felt that was sort of the right place to have it. And I know probably my councillor Cable has probably got more thoughts, and I think I'd be happy to hear his thoughts as well.
Councillor Cagle.
Thank you. Yes, when we had that meeting, it was something that was proposed by Councillor Chan, County Councillor Chan, about making a facility for motorhomes and campgrounds that was available for anybody wanting to come and use it, but it would be run and administered by the District Council. And Officer Ennis was asked to go away and scump it. And over a year went past, and then he retired, and it wasn't done. It wasn't achieved. So what Councillor Tassaram has proposed is that we reinstate this task to finish forward to look at it again with the District Council.
Come back,
if I could.
Yeah.
Just to be clear as well, because when we looked at the pilot scheme that had already been operating in Exmouth, across the whole district, it was agreed that in the relevant towns, each town or area where it is appropriate to have facilities for motorhomes and campervans, it was agreed that task and finish groups would be set up. So I'm not sure what's happened about an Exmouth-based task and finish group.
Alongside East End District Council and Devon County Council, so there was representatives from the Swing Council on that task and finish group.
Can I give some background?
I was just going to say something like that, but the town clerk would like to say something.
Yeah, so Councillor Rowland, we asked the County Council and the District Council to facilitate a three-way task and finish forum to discuss campervan parking in Exmouth back in 2016. It was Councillor Bill Nash that instigated that. And that was predominantly to deal with the problem we had with people, overnight visitors, dominating the car parking space along the seafront between the new lifeboat station and Orcombe Point, and people being perceived to abuse that situation. So we set up a TAF, and the outcome of that TAF was that we agreed three sites in Exmouth that would be trialled for a two-year period. That two-year period was extended to 3 years because of COVID. And the sites that were trialled were the Imperial Recreation Ground, Queen's Drive Echelon, some limited car parking space on the seafront, but not for there was a ban introduced along the seaward side of the of Queen's Drive and then Mare Road car park. When the matter went to the District Council car parking TAF, our own TAF was effectively in abeyance because we were still in that 3-year trial period. I think there's an expectation that our TAF will be will revisit the matter at the point at which we're invited to comment on it by the District Council. But we were the only town, I think, that had an existing TAF that was looking at camper van parking. We haven't yet been asked to comment or reconvene on the back of the work that's been done by the car parking TAF at East Devon District Council, but we are poised and ready to contribute to that when you need us to. The site visit that was done at Foxholes Car Park was as a result of that car parking TAF working. When the Imperial Recreation site was withdrawn, because that was perceived not to be working as a longer-term site, we then started exploring with the District Council what an alternative site would be, and Foxholes Car Park was put forward as an alternative site. And that was partly in recognition of the fact that the Imperial Recreation Ground had been very popular for both longer-term car parking, you know, van lifers, if you want to use that word, and also the overnight visitors that we were getting. And there was support for some scoping work to be done around Foxholes Car Park. It wasn't clear whether that was for short-term stays, limited to 3 nights, normal, you know, proposals, or if that was going to be for longer term. But it was on the basis that there were toilets there, there was water there, etc. One thing that Andrew Ennis did highlight at the time was that there might be concerns from residents that it would have to go through a consultation process if that site was being considered as a motorhome parking site, whichever motorhomes that was for. So that's the status. Our car parking TAF is poised and ready to meet again. It's just in abeyance at the moment because we were waiting for a lead from the District Council on the work that you've been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Lucy. Have you got the wording for the motion?
Well, I haven't got the exact wording, other than that Councillor Brewster Sarum would like that scoping exercise to be picked up. That's probably the best way of phrasing it, isn't it? See whether there is potential for that site to be used. But I think you need to be clear whether that's for visitors coming in or whether you want that scoping exercise to look at longer term use. Because I don't think the original meeting we had was necessarily looking at the problems of
No, it wasn't.
It was to create extra motorhome which won't necessarily address the issues. Well, if you're looking at permitting it again, it won't necessarily address the issues.
People are earning money and don't want free lunch. Then it's a fee paying commercial enterprise, whether it's District Council or it's Pratt Hayes Farm or it's St John's Farm. You know, so you can't get away from it. You know, if you're going to park somewhere in the facility, and I do often myself, being a member of the camping and motorhome club, I go and pay when I use. You know, so what's the difference? You know, if you've got the money to pay, then you've got to pay. There's no getting away from it. You can't just pitch up on a car park and stay there forevermore. It's life. That's the way life works.
Thank you.
So there's a proposed. Maddie Chapman's got hands up.
Katie Chapman.
Yes. Can I suggest, Jack, that when you go back to Blackdown House, that you ask them to ask landowners if they have any land that we could facilitate this project on? Because developers, we know, have been going around Exmouth and buying up fields because they want to build houses. And I'm sure, you know, Lord Clinton would be happy to receive a visit from East Devon saying, you know, have you got any land in Mare Lane that you could let us have, maybe, you know, over a trial period or, how, you know, cheaper or whatever. Because the East Devon have bought land in the past few years. We know they have, you know, drive to the area of outstanding natural beauty. But we're talking human resources here. So I really think we need to start asking the landlord, have you got any land? Have you got any near any of the business parks or anything that you were thinking of developing, but you're not? Can we take it over and see what you come up with? I think we need to widen our scope, to be quite honest. Thank you, Chair.
I'll let you come back, Jack, and then the town clerk's got some information.
I just wanted to comment on Maddie's comment, actually, okay. If I don't mind. I think the suggestion from Lee was, and I don't know whether this might be something else that could be looked at, was that in the same way that you can negotiate unilateral agreements for affordable housing when development sites come forward, is there scope within the legal process to look at a unilateral agreement for the provision of land for motorhome parking, longer-term motorhome parking? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that was the suggestion that Lee was making.
That'd be good, John.
Do you want to come back, Jack? And then we'll have to round this up and put it to the vote. Well, is it new information, Councillor Wilson?
I guess so. Yeah, it's just, I think, with respect to the motion from Councillor Desai, we need to some sort of time scale rather than just to allow it to drift as previously happened. I'd suggest maybe 3 months, because we need to get on with this.
Are you happy to put that in your proposal?
I think so, yes, especially as Lisa said, we were poised and ready. So, yeah, I think it's very important to do that, yeah.
You'll have to accept that. Councillor Jarrett.
Excuse me, can I just say something? I know it's a bit late, but my name is Sarah, and I'm living around on the estuary. I think everyone who is down, the majority of people working, and we would pay. There's a machine to pay there, but it doesn't take any money. So we're happy to pay. When you're talking about campsites, I think that might be fine at this time of year. Come the summer, they will charge an absolute fortune because it's for tourists, not for people who are living there all the time. Something to say about homeless. We don't consider ourselves homeless because we live in our vans. If we were told that we have to move off there, in all intents and purposes, we would be. At that point, we would have to go to the local authority, because I know the local authority have got a mandate that they have to avoid people being made homeless. So at that point, we would be registering with the local authority saying we are homeless because we've got nowhere to park. I know it's a difficult situation. I know it's difficult for all of you thinking what to do. But we are a little community there. We are helping people who... nervous about living in their vans, have got an alternative, mental health problems, which is a major thing at the moment for a lot of people. But yeah, I do accept what you're all saying, but I'd just like to say it's we're in a difficult position, but we've put ourselves in this situation because we're not going to be homeless. We have places to live, and our vans are self-contained. Yes, we have showers, we have toilets, we have everything we need in the vans. We don't use any other facilities.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Do you want to make any point of comment, Richard?
The number of points there. I think in terms of the homelessness issue, I don't think that would be a situation caused by East Devon, should the situation be to move the van lifers on from the land currently occupied. I don't think we would then be making homeless, so I think the situation would then be any different. Should they be parking on another land under the occupation of another landowner? And I think I'd just quite like to set expectations around. I'm very happy to have the discussion around potholes, not a discussion I've been part of in the past, but obviously slightly more complex. It wasn't one of the ones that was originally chosen to be part of the motorhome trial, so there's obviously other considerations such as the residential. And there, But I wouldn't want that to be a precursor, because there are other things. The other considerations are more urgent or more pressing in terms of the planning considerations about the use of the land. So I wouldn't want it to be dependent or to have any or sort of any decision. I think the two things can happen at the same time, but I would have said expectations that they would depend on the other. Otherwise, the situation, as we know, has been going on for over 2 years now, and there's a good sense of urgency to have this resolved in the near future.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Jack. Have you got anything final you'd like to say?
Just in response to Councillor Chapman's points, noted.
Okay, so could you just read out for everybody's information what wording you've got, please?
Well, if you're looking for an action from the Town Council, I would suggest that we have a proposer and a seconder from Councillor Desaro and Councillor Mike Rosser, that the District Council asks the District Council to complete the scoping exercise for the use of Foxholes car park within the next 3 months.
Which Councillor Fred Kagan
seconded it.
Yeah, I won't get upset.
Yeah.
No, okay.
So
proposed by Councillor Bruce Desaro, seconded by Councillor Fred Cahill.
So everybody understands?
Yes.
Okay. Right. All those in favour, could you raise your hand, please?
Are you abstaining, Joe? I am abstaining. Okay. Any other abstentions?
Yes.
Okay. That's carried then, thank you.
That's carried then. Can I thank you both for coming, and thank you, the Van Lifers, for coming and speaking. I think it's important we heard what you had to say to the room. If you want to go or stay, it's entirely up to you. Thank you, members. That was a very intense debate, and thank you for all your contributions. It's not an easy issue, I think, to try and solve, but hopefully our guests have gone away with some positive ideas. So with your permission now, I'll move to the agenda as printed. We move to item 6, to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, town clerk, stroke, deputy town clerk, district and county councillors as appropriate. So we move to the planning committee, minutes of the meeting held on the 3rd of January, 16th of January, 2023, which you'll attach. Councillor Joe Wibley is not in the room at the moment. Is there any other member of the planning committee that would?
Yeah.
Councillor Tim Dunbar.
I'll propose those minutes.
Do we have a seconder, please?
Yes, sure.
Councillor Brian Bailey. All those in favour, please show. That's carried. Thank you. So we then move on to, Town Clerk's report as attached. Any questions to Lisa on her report, please? Is that Councillor Fred Cahill?
No, sorry. The wrong meeting.
Okay. So no questions? Oh, put it on. No questions to the Town Clerk. We note those minutes. Thank you, Lisa. Move then to the Deputy Town Clerk's report as attached. Any questions to Lisa? She can pass on to Chetner if need be. I've seen her hand, so that's noted. Thank you. We then have the Community Organisations, otherwise known as COPE. Notes of the meeting held on the 16th of January 2023 attached, and it's normally David Poor as the chair, but obviously he's given his apologies. So is it your wish that we note those minutes? Councillor Fred Cahill.
Just an amendment. Number 5, last paragraph. And 8 are located.
Okay, I can get that changed.
Okay.
Yep, that's fine. Yep.
With that amendment, then we note. those.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We then move to the Festival and Events Working Party. Notes of the meeting held on the 26th of January 2023, and I think you had another set replacing the set that was circulated, if that makes sense. Councillor Joy Whips has given her apologies. So is it your wish that we note those minutes, please?
Noted.
Yeah. Thank you. Flooding and Land Drainage Working Party. Notes of the meeting held on the 24th January 2023. Any questions to Councillor Bruce Tassano, please?
I propose them to be noted, then, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We then move to Town Maintenance Overview Working Party. Notes of the meeting held on the 19th of January 2023 attached, and to approve the recommendation from the Working Party that the Council renews the EDBC grass cutting and winter work SLA agreement for 2023/24 at a cost of £23,348.04, a 3% increase from last year.
Excuse me, Chair, may I ask a question?
I was just going to ask the Chair of the committee to speak to the minutes if you wish to, and to move the recommendation and answer any questions.
Fair enough, Chair. I've jumped the gun.
That's right. Councillor Ian Kirby, please.
Thank you, Chair. And as you just said, I'd like to seek approval for that proposal. I'm quite happy to take some questions, I'm sure there will be. As members will know, we've had the service level agreement that's been in place for the last 12 months. Prior to that, there wasn't anything really definitively written down. So we've tried all the members of the...
I thought I turned it off.
Am I working on music?
Thank you. My sincere apologies.
Sorry, not 42, so as I was saying, we obviously last year we got the service level agreement in black and white up and running. We've obviously, the members of the working group, we've reviewed it. Obviously, there's been some to and fro in the streets in issues that haven't been completed to our satisfaction. They've gone back and done. We've monitored the work that's been taken and that's been done. So really, I'm seeking approval to renew that SLA. I understand how there may be one or two questions, so I'm quite happy to take them.
Thank you. You're moving the proposal. Councillor Manny Chapman. I'll take Councillor Bailey then for a question. Thank you.
Excuse my ignorance, Ian. I'm looking at a sum of £23,348.04. Now, is that what we're paying East
Devon,
or are they paying us?
We're paying them.
Well, I have another question, Chair. I looked at this and the grass cutting area. We appear to be paying East Devon to cut their own grass.
No, we're not.
Well, this land that's in Moorfield is East Devon land.
No, it's not. It's highways land.
It's highways land.
The background to the contract is that when Devon County Council withdrew from grass cutting in 2014, we subcontracted a number of sites that had previously been maintained by the County Council to the District Council. And that arrangement had been in place since 2014. The Town Maintenance Working Party undertook a complete review of all the sites that the District Council were maintaining on our behalf on highways land. It's definitely County Council highways land. In some instances, they are maintaining highways land adjacent to their own land, but we are paying for County Council land and we maintain that. And it was a choice of the Town Council to take that on and to commission that work to the District Council in 2014.
Well, I thank you for the explanation. It seems a tremendous amount of money. A very good deal, obviously, for East Devon District Council and for the County Council. I suppose I should have picked this up at the time. I missed a couple of meetings, so I was quite ill for a while. But
It was put out to tender a couple of years ago. And actually the district council offer was seemed to be very competitive.
I mean, I've been if I can, I know that is bad.
Can I, let me just take Councillor Maddie Chapman and then Councillor Fred
Kegel. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ian.
Okay, for some background information, 2014, everything went to pot, basically. We were paying East Ham District Council over £60,000 a year for maintenance work. We had discussions, which the town clerk was very privy to. It got a bit heated with East Devon, which is why when Chetna came on board as deputy town clerk, that she has taken it over and we have our own town maintenance team, and I know you're on the committee. This is why it has been cut down and we have our own guys doing work out and about in the areas that the town council wish them to work at. We also employ someone who works for East Devon, who actually works under the guidance of Street Scene and Chetna to do jobs in and around town, which we like. And every year now, Chetna sits down with the area manager of Street Scene and works out the strategy. From information from committee members on work that has been done and work that has been done perhaps but not to standard, work that needs being done more repetitively, like Ian says, it depends on the weather as well. Sometimes if it's very dry, of course the grass doesn't grow and then you get a lot of rain and it shoots up and then you can't see when you're driving out roadway because the grass is too high, etc, etc. So it's an ongoing situation and we review it every year and we think this year we have a good working relationship at the moment with the Street Scene and everything seems to be going quite well and for the work that is actually done we are getting quite a good value for the amount. But they are working closely with our guys as well. And in a year's time, we will review it. But because we have monthly meetings or 6 weekly meetings with Chetna and the team, any issues that come up are addressed and are taken weekly to Street Scene by Chetna and sorted out with the area manager.
Thank you, Maddie.
Councillor
Frank Kagan.
Thank you, Chair. My question comment's not about finances, but it's about the work that's been done. It's been excellent by Brendan Bloom and all those people that have been involved. What concerns me is that the grass verges, whether it's the wilding exercise up on Salterton Road, Brendan Bloom down by the railway station, is that vehicles parking on the grass and damaging the verges. The wilding area at Salton Road has got digger on it at the moment. That's been tracked across from South West Water. There's vehicles parking on the grass on Salton Road because I've noticed there's a lot of contractors' vehicles already parking in the residential part of the service road. I don't know whether the part of the camp for that site is that the contractor's vehicle should park on the site, but it just grow and grow and grow, and before long you've got to have vehicles parked on the grass instead of on the road. So it's all very well looking out for these wonderful areas in our town and get the gold award, but no one seems to bother when vehicles park on the road.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything else, Councillor Kirby?
No, well done.
No, we agree.
Okay. No, Oh, sorry, Councillor Brian.
Given me.
Not Brian, Andrew Toy.
There's an increase of 3% since last year, but the inflation has been a lot more than that. So is that affordable to be on the part? Considering especially the increase in cost of fuel, because vehicles need fuel and the strippers need fuel.
Can I come in?
Yeah, I was just.
We've budgeted £25,000, so it's within the budget that we've allocated. Actually, East Devon District Council have made a gesture that they've only increased the contracted amount by 3% and not by RPI. So actually, they've acknowledged that a 10% plus increase, RPI increase, might be unaffordable by it for us. And so they've limited it to 3%, but we've budgeted 25. So it's within affordability.
Thank you.
Can I quickly come back?
Quickly?
Quick, yeah. My greenhouse is full of cuttings and plants that belong to the town council. If you want to come check them.
Thank you, Maddie. So we have a proposer, Ian Kerwin, seconded by Councillor Maddie Chapman, that we and agree to the arrangements for 2023-24 at a net cost of £23,348.04. All those in favour, please show. Any against? Any abstentions? That's carried then. Or was I too quick?
No, that's fine. Okay. I don't know. A couple of people haven't voted one way or another.
Oh, right. So I presume that. To be absolutely democratic, then, all those in favour? All those against? And those abstaining, please.
Thank you.
Sorry. That's okay. Thank you very much. Right. So we then move on to the Waterfront Working Party notes of the meeting held on the 10th of January 2023 attached, and to ratify a recommendation that Exmouth Town Council write to East Devon District Council asking them to ensure that any marketing of the Orcombe Point toilets and any contractual agreements come to with organisations or firms operating the building, including a condition that at a minimum, they provide at least one toilet for public use and for a minimum period based on current opening hours and dates as currently operated by EDDC. Normally, it's Pauline Scott, but she's given her apologies. So can I go over to Councillor Tim Dunbar, please?
Yes.
Are you moving the recommendation?
Yeah, I am. And I also want moving the note of those notes. The reason that, the public toilet that is under East Devon District Council actually has a rather similar proposal within it. When we were discussing this at the Waterfront Working Party, we recognised how important those toilets at Orcombe Point are. And I think we wanted to do a belt and braces act, underline, if you like, the importance to the town of those continuing toilet facilities at Orcombe Point. And that's why we made that particular recommendation. So I propose that.
Thank you. Is there a second there? Yeah. Councillor, are you seconding?
Councillor Beach.
Councillor Eileen Beach seconding. So are there any questions? Councillor Lawson. Yeah.
Can I just comment on
yes.
that? I think that if we looked at all the toilets that have been, if you like, cast aside under the public toilet review by the district council, we would all say that we wanted more than one toilet in there. We haven't said that, so I'm not sure that we could revisit it, I'm sure, but we need 6 months to do that.
from my perspective, I mean, we debated the public consultation outcome to the toilets, and I think we commented at that time about concerns about the marketing of the Category B toilets for commercial use. So we have covered that off already.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to say that I totally support what Councillor Ross has said. I don't know whether there's any way we could perhaps tweak it to suggest that one or more, to maybe put in one or more toilets on the words that reflect, so it's quite clear that we were, you know, asking for a little bit more, we're going to get less.
I think it says at least one, so that, I mean, it could be more. That would be down to negotiations, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
There's no mention of disabled toilets. A lot of people going in the seafront, walking their partners or their charges. Wheelchairs, and there's no mention. I think that's crucial, especially on seafront.
Well, I would imagine we would be arguing the case that it's got to be what's the word, universal toilet?
Accessible.
Yeah, that it would cater for all.
Well, that's what you're saying, Charles. If we mention disabled toilets, they are of a set standard, aren't they? Disabled toilets should be of a set standard, where the accessible ones are not.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but surely...
I think there's a risk here that you're going to end up re-debating the public toilet, the outcome of the public toilet consultation, which we have already responded to. Concerns around accessible disabled toilets were raised when we debated it at the Ocean in September.
So if this is a reminder of the previous statement from East Devon when they said they were going to shed off the toilets to anyone who's interested, hopefully the town council, in their opinion, not mine. Why can't we reiterate the fact that we need disabled toilets?
My understanding was that this motion came forward from the Waterfront Working Party because an update has been provided that the Orcombe Point toilets have been marketed now and that there is a potential tenant, and the Waterfront Working Party was seeking reassurance that as part of that transfer, that asset transfer, that there would be public toilet provision as part of that transfer. But I do think there's a risk that you're going to end up re-debating the outcome of the public toilet consultation and some of those concerns around accessible toilets, opening hours, whether Category B toilets should even be opened up for commercial marketing opportunities. We have debated that, and I have responded on behalf of the council to all those points.
Right.
So this motion today is purely from the working party, the Waterfront Working Party, asking for reassurance that as part of the asset transfer, which we understand has now been agreed with a commercial party, that we're seeking assurance that there will be at least one toilet for public use as part of that asset transfer.
Right, thank you. But it's not very reassuring if you're a disabled person.
No, but you've debated all that as part of the original public toilet consultation. No, but you've that has already been debated, Brian. Though what?
Well, we're reiterating it again. But if you feel that it's not appropriate, then you.
Well, we can't open up the debate again.
I'm not asking for the debate because this is a repeat of what we've done before.
Yes, but
yes. Well, there's no denying it, Chair.
No, we've already made our comments to East Devon on the public toilets. Whether we like.
Why are we doing it again, Chair?
The Waterfront Working Party have asked us just to reiterate that there should be at least one public toilet at Orcombe Point when it's sold off to whoever's going to buy it. And I think in the paperwork it does say that they only have to provide one public toilet. I'm going to take Mike Rosser and then I'll put it to the vote.
I think Councillor Bailey's point is very important. I think, in fact, it's more important to have a toilet available for decent disabled wheelchair brands who wouldn't be able to get to the other toilets at Foxholes. And, you know, if the Waterfront Party wants to reiterate what's already been said, then I think we can say again that needs to be a toilet that's
provision in the agreement, the asset transfer agreement, is that the toilet provision has to be comparable with what's there currently. I don't think there's a disabled toilet there currently, because there's steps there. There's steps there. But I don't think that was part of the marketing agreement for the district council.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a...
I think, yeah.
We have a proposer. We have a proposer by Tim Dumper. Is there a seconder? Yes. Councillor Eileen Bean. You all know what the recommendation is, so you have the opportunity to vote no. All those in favour, please say. Or show. Sorry.
Okay.
Those against?
Those against?
Those against.
One, okay.
One. Those abstaining?
Okay, that's carried, thank
you. That's carried. Thank you. Right, we've moved forward to reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. Excuse me. Oh, thank you. I'm just getting the feedback of mumbling. Item one, web health and wellbeing. Councillor David Poore, notes of the meeting held on the 19th of January 2023 are attached. David Poore has sent his apologies. Are you happy that we note those minutes?
Thank you.
Right. Too quick for me now. Item two, Dem Association of Local Councillors. Councillor Tim Dumper, notes of county committee meeting held on the 5th of December. And I also understand that there was a meeting today. Councillor Dumper.
Yes, I attended a meeting of county committee today. It was a very, very much shortened meeting, but one of the important points that came out was the setup of the Devon Housing Commission. Now, I'm not quite sure, but I know that Team Devon has been responsible for this, and whether anybody here can add to that, but we know that there's been a lot of issues about housing, and I mean, we've seen that here tonight, and I think it's important that DELC has this group working on it, and the Devon Housing Commission are working. Beyond that, there was talk about, we've been discussing social care and the potential for DELC doing that, getting involved, should I say, in that work. Also, we were discussing further the ideas that DELC involve and engage with parish and town councillors a lot, perhaps rather better than they have done in the past. Because we've had cases where we haven't been told what's going on at local level, and we are worried that people don't understand what actually DELC is trying to do. So we as members of the county committee are trying to engage with people. And I'm not sure that Councillor Bailey, who is a board member of DELC, whether there's anything to come from the board on that. That's all I think I'd like to say.
Unfortunately, we've lost a board member recently, Colin, who's just recently resigned. So we're still waiting for another board member to join, to be selected. And I'm sure they'll do it very shortly. We're hoping to do it within 2 or 3 weeks. And we can be back on track. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. So if there's no questions to Councillor Dumper, can I ask that we note the minutes and the verbal report? Councillor Ollie Day.
Thank you, Tim. Just a quick question on item 7, the Devon Carbon Plan. I just noted that there's been opposition at Devon Communities Together to the political statements within the declaration, and I just wondered what it was within the declaration that was considered political.
Yes, sorry, I didn't mention that. Because I did actually ask a question about that. I just think that the two or three things that were mentioned when I wasn't able to be given feedback at the meeting, but I had later feedback from the officer there. And it was just the fact that in rural areas, people need transport. It was all the rural area issues usually come up at meetings like this. Yes, we need to use our cars because of X, Y, and Z. No, we can't afford to do to cut things down. I mean, we have heard those arguments so many times before, and I didn't feel they were political statements at all. The carbon plan made. That was my take.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. Thank you both. Are you happy that we note those minutes in the verbal report? Thank you. We then move to 3, fair trade. Exmouth catcher Tim Dunbar to provide an update.
I've done that, Chair, through a written report.
Thank you.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah, can
you? You didn't do outside bodies. Unless I missed it, did I?
No, I haven't done outside bodies.
It's part of the same.
The same.
It's part of the same one.
Okay.
We didn't have any meeting notes from the Exmouth placemaking because there hasn't been a meeting since the last time we reported. So that wasn't put on there as an agenda, but Steve normally opens it up to anybody else that has reports from outside bodies under this section after the Fair Trade report.
So we note the Fair Trade report. Thank you, Coach Dumper. We then move on then.
Are there any other outside bodies that you want to report?
Outside bodies that wish to speak.
Does Aurora want to...
Councillor Aurora Bailey, do you want to... Excuse me.
Councillor Bailey?
What's that?
Do you want to speak
on... I'll just pass in the microphone.
Oh.
Yeah. Outside bodies, it's just been opened up for you to give a report. I was trying to explain that the reason it isn't bulleted is because we didn't have any notes that we could add. That's why there's no bullet point, but that doesn't mean that people can't give verbal updates on outside bodies.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you want me to give a verbal update?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
I've asked you to.
Well, hopefully the meeting for the placemaking was cancelled, and hopefully we're having one next month, and I don't know definitely if we are. Anyway, I'd just like to say that I've done my best for the placemaking. It's been really difficult. It's been a very difficult committee, and I'd like to say that in May, whoever takes on, whoever's going to be cancelled, please save the dinosaur park, as I've fought for that all the way along the last 4 years, for the children. Yesterday it was the busiest place along the seafront, and it would be sad for it to go, but I'm very sad because I've really tried hard with our committee to get nowhere. I'm really disappointed. I'm very sad about it, and that's my personal opinion, nobody else's. You know, it's really difficult. And if nothing else, please save the dinosaur park, because there's nowhere else for the children to go on the seafront, and it's free. And I think the times as we are now, it's good for the children's well-being. It's not all about the adults, it's children as well. And I'm very sad that we've got nowhere. But I did try hard, and I worked really hard with it. I'm not saying nobody else hasn't, but I'm really disappointed they haven't done anything. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and we know your... Councillor Brewster, sorry.
I was going to say that I concur with Councillor Bailey that yes, there will be future consultations, I believe, for the Queen's Drive, but it is disappointing, and I know that Councillor Bailey, as our representative, has done her very best, and I'd like to put on as a fellow representative my grateful thanks to Aurora for all that you've done, and I'm sure the Dinosaur Park, if it's able to come to fruition, will be a great success, and we must be very grateful for all that you've done. Thank you, Aurora.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so we note the verbal report. Thank you.
Actually, no, it's probably best that I'm seeing. No
I'll stick my head down.
Yeah. Okay. Chairman, before we move on,
Councillor
I know I would say this anyway, but it's the fact that I'm married to the lovely Aurora, I would make this statement if I wasn't married to Aurora. The statement I'd like to make is to express my deep disappointment with East Devon District Council and their report and their committee on Queen's Drive. In the 4 years, because they were quick enough to slag off the Conservative group, didn't do this, didn't do that. When it was left by the Conservative group, there was planning permission for a hotel and various retail access. This alleged council have done nothing to encourage that. They've done nothing to sell it on, nothing to put it out to market. They've just let it collapse into nothing. All they've achieved is, I think, 4 bike racks, and the possibility of a sign stating there is an excess car park, open for a car park at the end of the main. Well, I think that's a very, very disgustingly poor result after 4 years' work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We hear what you're saying. We don't necessarily agree with what you said. Councillor Joe Wibley.
Is there an election on the board or something? Can I suggest that? I realise it's frustrating that nothing's happened. I mean, I was new in 2019. I was part of the ill-fated Bedingham administration, and that was a shambles, okay? I do understand it's frustrating. It's taking a long time. You can down the council from, you know, whichever direction you want. That's fine. That's perfectly within your rights to do so. But we're judging the process that although it is slow, we're halfway through it. This is how long it takes if you do it properly. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll move on then to reports from district councillors. And can I thank Councillor Joe Wibley for his report that's been circulated?
Councillor Joe Wibley wants to speak to his report.
Councillor Joe Wibley.
Yeah, so I'm going to send you all an email linking to a press release from East Devon District Council that came out last week. Any of you have a social media page or any kind of anywhere that you can share it. I'd really, really appreciate it if you did. So it's to do with unlicensed taxis in the town. There have been some appearing of late. It's very, very easy to make your car look like a taxi. It's kind of driven by stuff on the eBay. And people have been getting... So you go out on Friday or Saturday night, this is when it's been happening. People have a few to drink. They get into taxis, not necessarily on the rank, although apparently one of them was on the rank at some point. And the driver is either very suspect, obviously the vehicle isn't subject to all the checks and licenses. And there have been occasions where the drivers have been, inappropriate. And this is just a way of one, alerting people that this is a thing at the moment. If you take away people's desire to, you know, people using taxis that are unlicensed, then they will, hopefully the driver will lose interest and go somewhere else, or they can just stop. And it's just some hints and tips for residents as to what to do when you're getting in a taxi. So checking the East Devon plate on the back, asking the driver for ID, because no driver will refuse to check the ID. It's really, really important to stop anything awful happening. So if you could share that, I'll send that all to you again later on.
I've just circulated the press release from East Devon.
Thank you, sir.
But if people can link it on the social media,
yeah,
that would be helpful. Yeah. And we can do that through the Town Council social media platforms as well.
I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Councillor Baddie Chapman.
Yeah, yeah. I sit with Joe on the licensing committee. And I would suggest actually that all of you that have young females that go out on an evening and they want a taxi, that you book it through a company rather than go to the rack at the moment. I know the officers are sorting it out, but when they've had a few drinks, try to look at the number plates and everything like that. I think it is better that they phone AJ's or one of our other wonderful taxi firms, and then they will get and our certified driver is that two young ladies have been very frightened. And so we need to stop that happening.
About young boys,
thanks.
I haven't had any complaints that way yet.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman, and other taxi firms are available.
Yeah.
Any other district councillor wish to give a verbal report? Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Yes, can I give a report from Sideshore, please? Please to confirm that you've probably read as well. Sideshore, very pleased to be working with the Town Council and are willing to contribute financially to the festival budget that the Town Council is running and discussing things with our festival committee and put things on at Sideshore. We have had a blip at Sideshore, as Joe knows, as Chairman of Licensing, part of the licensing agreement with Sideshore to use the outside space was to have toilets. They put in a planning application for three brand new block of toilets, which the public can use if they pay as you go, and they are top of the range. And they wanted to put a small hub. Now, unfortunately, for some unknown reason, best known for themselves, the planning committee at East End turned down the request for these toilets. So, as you can imagine, the directors of Grenadier are not best impressed because they can't use the outside grass area for weddings or anything like that until the toilets are there. Because if there's children present, the children cannot use the facilities inside Shore because it goes through the bar. And as a point of license, you cannot have children doing that. So I have spoken to the chief exec and the planning officers, I've also spoken to Side Shore, and the idea is now that they will put in a planning application solely on the toilets. And hopefully this time that will go through and we'll come up with some other ideas of what we want to do, because the original hub was so that if parents or anyone wanted to hire the outside green space for picnics or anything, this small hub place, a bit like a bubble thing, you could keep food in and you could meetings in it, you know, only six people, etc. But planning decided they didn't want it. So anyway, so we're going to go to the toilets on that. So that is where we are on outside body side. Looking forward to the festival.
Councillor Ollie David.
Thank you, Chair. Just to come back very briefly on that one, mistakes I sure made was to try and put two planning applications into one. There was unanimous support for the toilets and unanimous rejection of the manager's hut on the grass area. And it was unanimous. There was unanimous rejection of the proposal. So I'm very pleased to hear. And I'm going to say the charge was led by the leader, Conservative leader, on the Conservative group. I just wanted to say, you know, it wasn't a political decision. It was just a feeling of, among the group that there were two completely separate issues being conflated there. So I'm very relieved to hear they're just going to apply for the toilets. I don't think that would have any issues.
Yeah, everyone has been informed, Chair. Please note.
Thank you. No other district councillor wish to give a report? No? Thank you. So we move on to county councillor's report to be circulated separately, it says. Richard, have you got anything you'd like to say? Or thank you for waiting so long. No? No, Richard's got nothing. He wants you.
Can you release your microphone, please? Richard can't get his microphone.
Oh, sorry, Richard.
Steve had his.
Oh, okay. On, yeah. You are groggy tonight, that's for sure. I've got nothing to report. If there's any questions that you want to ask, thank you for entertaining me for 2 hours.
we'll find some biscuits for you next time.
Biscuits and a cup of tea, I'm fine.
Yeah. Any questions to Richard, please?
Councillor Tim, yes. Dumper.
Yes. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Yes, Richard, I was rather disappointed that you didn't volunteer any information as far as the van lifers were concerned with previous living on streets. I just wondered whether you had any views that you wish to from your entertainment from earlier.
Would you like to respond? Or?
Take them all in one go if that's all right.
Okay. He'll respond when he gets quite a few more questions. Any more questions? I can't see
anybody.
Want
any more?
No. Over to you, Richard, and go home then.
I'm expecting, to be fair, guys, your questions on the budgets and things like that to go through the county council currently.
Potholes,
indeed. Reference potholes, again, I've sent the information to Lisa to distribute to you all for the correct way to report them, monitor them, understand what's going on with them. You can tag yourself in them for reports. Jeff and I and Christine only need to get involved when they're taking what could be considered an extraordinary matter. You know, again, I'd ask for your patience with the gangs that are out. They'll be out now filling these holes in while we're sat in this nice room we're talking about them filling holes in. They will get on top of it. My personal view of the program around April. Before I come to that, Councillor Dumper, obviously we got the money for dinner. I think it's only right in this forum that I pass my thanks on to you guys for supporting that application and that bid with your SIL funding, and then we'll see where it goes from here in terms of how we make sure this road gets built. The next step realistically is for the land requisitions to take place, which we'll see how long that takes. The planning commission's got to 2016, but thanks again for your help. In relation, Councillor Dumper, to your question, it's not right and proper for me to get involved in your meetings unless you ask me to.
So, I'm sure that's the genuine answer.
Yeah. If you want to ask me a question, then it's up to your chairman possibly to bring me in if you think I've got a contribution to make. I think listening to your discussions, I'm not quite sure the district council is responsible for provision for this lifestyle. I can understand why, because they're currently on the district council car park. You feel maybe some responsibility from the district council, although the pushback listening to Jack, to Richard tonight, I think they're trying to suggest to you it's not really our responsibility. I think in terms of some conversation around apples and pears, you can't compare gypsy and Romany people to someone who's choosing to live in a van because of the legal definition and their protected characteristics. So I understand why that's been conflated, but they're not the same. And we can argue whether or not we think gypsy or Romany people should be providing land to live on. But at the moment, that's the current situation. In terms of your camper van TAF, Council Trail is currently running a scrutiny review through corporate scrutiny. Reference a county-wide policy on motorhomes, camper vans, full stop. I think realistically the conclusion from that is going to be there's no possibility of a county-wide policy. And in some ways, the reality and the reason for it is there's 8 different district councils with 8 different district council opinions about what they want to see in their districts. And for the county council to have an overarching policy on motorhomes and camper vans, then we would need to own land where we could send them to over the highway. Whereas the only possibility realistically involves district council car parks, which the current policy of the authority, whether you agree with it or not, is to get cars and vans off the highway, keep the highway churned, put them in the district council car parks, generates more money for you guys, more income. What I won't want to see, to go back to your main question, I think you're asking me, would I want to see highways officers chasing these people around Exmouth? No. We've got better things to do. Like Philip Halls. Well, they don't Philip Halls, and he contracted us. And the other way that system works, if you're living, for example, in a motorhome on the highway, you've got to provide evidence. There's a 28-day removal order. We'd be taken away. You know, these vans can be moved any minute you choose to do so. You know, do we really want to see the county council investing time and money chasing someone around Exmouth in a van? Not a chance. And I suppose that's where it comes back to, even though I'm not quite sure where the responsibility of the district council is. Someone's got to provide somewhere for them to go. But where is it? I mean, Councillor Chapman, I applaud your wishful thinking, but if Lord Clinton and his family were all about giving land away, they could have done that 1,000 years ago. I don't think you're going to see it. I'm sure you could ask, but I mean, my opinion on that sort of stuff, we need a far braver land policy in this country to strip some of this historical land ownership and resolve some of these problems around social housing. And your last point about social housing, what I don't see in the proposed local plan at the moment, we're always being developer-led. We're always being landowner-led. What we're not doing is saying, well, okay, this is where we want land allocations, and you come forward if you want to sell your land. Yeah, and if you look at the question of social housing, and the legislation doesn't exist, but I'd like to see the legislation, and the more we talk about it, possibly it can. If the planning authority can set its housing limits and decide what it wants to have social housing, I think that's a better start than what we've got at the minute. So in terms of how you push back to MPs, etc., try and get that legislation changed, but yeah, I don't think that a landlord is going to come forward, whether they've got approved development or not, and say, yeah, we'll provide space for these people to buy their housing. It's a long way around, but that's my opinion.
Sure. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Chair, can I ask Richard that was a slightly tongue-in-cheek question, but
I thought it was a serious
I would like to ask Richard a very serious question.
Oh, God, do you have to?
Yeah, extremely serious, yeah. No, you mentioned Dinan Way, but of course the levelling up bid also concerns the area around the station, the proposed transport interchange. When we were discussing with your senior transport planner about this, the town council were promised a place around the table to discuss this. Now, I don't think we've heard a brief comment back from Hannah Clark, but I don't think yet we've heard the kind of process that is going to go on from there on in. Do you know that? And if not, could you ask and let us have an answer on how and when and where?
Yeah, I mean, I've already been nobbled by Councillor Bailey on that already, so we've been reading to that.
This
Councillor Bailey. So, you know, the any promises that we made will be kept. And that includes the work on the existing section as well in terms of traffic reviews, where it needs to be lights, etc. So, yes, you were promised a place, and I expect that beyond.
Hannah's actually been on holiday, but the day that the news came out, she did email me to say thank you and to say that she's looking forward to working with us.
Yeah. So,
So there is an acknowledgement there that, you know, she will be consulting with us and working with us.
Yeah, but I don't personally see much taking place until the land requisitions are put in place. There's an awful lot of legal work that needs to be done in terms of what's going to happen adjacent to Summer Lane, where the road's going to go. I think the work down here is a bit simpler because it's county council land. And there's a smaller section, I think it's the district council land. So in terms of permissions and things like that. Again, you will be included in it.
Thank you for that, Richard. And we look forward to working with the county council as we've worked well together to get to where we did get. Yes,
thank you,
Mom.
Sorry, I'll
be able
to see you there.
It's also on the levelling up fund bit, Richard. That's just knowing how these things tend to go over budget. I just wondered if there's any assurances that both parts of that project will be delivered
because I would hate to see the entire budget swallowed up by the road, and we're then told, well, actually, there's no money left for the improvements to the gateway. So I just want to be sure that we will get those improvements around the station, improvements to the cycle park that I tried to use tonight, and dodge around various pedestrians. So I'm totally unsatisfactory at the moment. I just want to make sure that those improvements will come forward as well.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Bain.
Thank you, Chair. Richard, could you assure me that when the funding comes through, this will be similar to what, specifically for the road and the town centre? Because I hear grumblings and I see certain things written from certain officers in East Devon with a presumption that they're going to be taking some of the money to do their placemaking, which I think is totally wrong. Several reports have come out suggesting they are going to be benefit from the levelling up.
Well, I am saying that, but would you like to answer the questions, Richard?
Yeah, I'll go in reverse. I mean, you can't bid for money and then do something else.
No.
So, you know, even though there's not detailed design for, obviously, Dinan is designed. So Dinan is designed, it has planning permission in terms of the town centre aspect of it. I'm sure it'll fit into some of the placemaking aspirations of East Devon, but in relation to what needs to be delivered, it has to be delivered around what the application was. So even though the detailed designs didn't come forward, I don't think, for example, what we could do is change the design by 20% above what was applied for. In relation to what the East Devon officers are saying, I've got no idea, I'm not getting involved in that. Councillor Davey, I mean, in terms of over budget, I can't possibly promise you that. You know, at the minute, I'll ask you to tender again, so the values that were put into it and what the officers believe it will cost to deliver, you know, construction materials as they are, the motor fuel as they are, we're going to see deflation come off over the next few months, inflation come off. So where prices go, I don't know. What you will probably be aware of, there are multiple councils that have been successful levelling up bids in round one that are now saying they cannot deliver the projects that they've secured the funding for. Now, where that could possibly go, I don't know. You know, that Michael Gove has mentioned there's some sort of mechanism for you to go back to government and say this is X, we need Y. If it was, say, for example, £1 million, £2 million over what the projection was to secure the funding, can the county council make that up for other capital? Deal with it as we find out, but realistically, the jobs need properly costing and given to contractors to deliver. What we can't do, to go back to the previous point, we can't just deliver the roads without the other parts of the application. It all has to be delivered together. Yeah? And don't forget, there's massive benefits from the road for cycling and walking, which currently doesn't have them services at all, and including bus services. So the road in itself, I guess some people are not a big fan of cars. It's not just about cars.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. No further questions?
No. You all cheered up when I started speaking.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on then to item 8, to agree a response to East Devon District Council Street Trading Policy Consultation. Street Trading Policy Consultation 2023/East Devon. Councillor Joe Wibley.
Yeah, hi. Obviously, again, this is a licensing thing, so just I spoke to Steve Storm, just the licensing guy, this morning, just to check for what I thought were the main changes in it, are the main changes. And there isn't a great deal. The one thing that is new in this. Charging people for putting a fee for applying for a license. It makes sure that people have got all of the documentation in place and ready, and that they're not just putting in sort of frivolous, speculative letters and applications. And in terms of the charges that we cost, they're less than the only other major change are some changes in Sidmouth. So a lot of the streets there were prohibited streets where there would have been no street trading at all ever allowed. They've been changed to what they call consent streets, which means you can have street trading there, but like everywhere else, you need to apply for a license to do it. In terms of all street trades, I know we're all interested in the reusable materials thing. So anybody who gets who applies for a street trading license and has glasses and things like that must use reusable plastic or polycarbonate glasses. And obviously there's issues with using glass. So other than that, there's not a great deal that's changed. So as it is today, there's no changes.
Any
answer questions, but I'm no expert.
Yeah. Any questions or
no?
Laura Bailey.
I know this is most probably a silly question. In May, there's going to be all new councillors. Now, if you're going to give out your licences soon, and I appreciate it's a really hard job, Joe, and I think you've done very well. What worries me is who's going to follow it through. You know what happens, somebody new will step in. Are you going to make sure that it's going to be followed through? That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you how to do your job. I'm just saying, you know, it's going to be all new people in May. That's an important thing to make sure that somebody is going to do something straight away, because otherwise it's going to be difficult.
So this will be hopefully be passed before the election, possibly. It may not be actually thinking when the next licensing enforcement committee meeting is. But in terms of making sure that what's in the street trading policy happens, that's for officers, and they won't be changing. So and you know, without wishing to, you know, leave them up too much, the licensing team. In terms of the actual licensing thing, there's issues with staffing and enforcement sometimes. But in terms of the licensing team who do all of this, they are brilliant. They're really good. Whatever's in the policy, whatever's been in any policy that's come before, has been implemented, and they're supporting the councillors, and I have no worries about it. They're very, very good at the training that you get as a new councillor, or even as an old councillor for licensing, is really extensive. So anything that's in this policy, if there's somebody completely green coming into it, it will all be.
License itself would really
be good at passing information on.
Thank you.
Councillor Chapman.
Can I just back what Joe has said? They are a terrific team, but basically what we are agreeing to is actually the law. So it has to be followed. Licensing is non-party political. You can't sort of say I'm not going to let Fred have his party. I don't like him. You can't do things like that. You know, it is the law. And once you're trained in the law, the reason we have so much training is that every time the government changes something, we have to go into a committee and be told, oh, the government changed this, changed that. So it's just following the law. So even if none of us are here, none of the licensed councillors, are re-elected, the officers will just carry on implementing the law.
Thank you. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Yeah, I was with the reassurance of our chair of licensing and our other member of licensing. I'd like to propose that we accept the new arrangements.
Proposed by Tim Dunbar, seconded by Councillor Chapman, that we endorse what's in the draft policy. All those in favour, please show.
Thank you.
Any against?
Joe's abstained.
Any abstentions?
Joe.
Thank you, Joe. So that's carried. So we move on then to item 9, to ratify that Councillor Tim Dunbar has been appointed as the council representative for the bus users and stakeholders, bus in brackets, forum.
Can I just provide a bit of background to this? We were contacted by Devon County Council to ask if we would like to nominate the chair of the Transport Partnership to sit on this bus forum. So, bearing in mind that Councillor Dunbar is the current chair of the Transport Partnership, we've put his name forward, but technically it does need to be ratified by the Town Council as it's an appointment to an outside body. But Tim, you might only get to one meeting, mightn't you, before the elections in May. But that's the background to it, and just seeking ratification for formality purposes, really.
Thank you for that. Lisa, can I have a proposal? Have you got a question?
I've just got a question, if I may. I've sat on this committee for Councillor Dunbar for some time. I'm just hoping, Tim, you can get stagecoach to turn up.
Yeah.
It would be rather good for a change of it. Thank you.
Can I just comment?
Yeah, quickly, please.
Quickly, I will. They've sent us through all the details, the terms of reference, and all the rest of it. And stagecoach and other operators are a key part of this. And I actually think it's a great advance that we have a proper, but what almost amounts to a bus user group. And I think that help our work. And all the other bodies, rather like us, around the county, are also being represented, as is DALC as well.
Good.
So, you know,
thank you. Could I have a proposal then, please?
Yeah,
oh, sorry. Councillor Fred Cagle, question.
Can you just confirm this is a county council day for?
Yes, I can. The public transport, transportation, communication or something group within their transport department will be leading it.
So my next question is, if we have an issue to do with buses, we can bring it to you.
Yeah, I mean, the issue with buses is coming through the transport partnership anyway.
Okay, so can we have a proposal then, please? Councillor Brian Bailey, seconded by...
Councillor Joe Woodley.
Councillor Joe proposed. All those in favour, please show. Okay. All those against? Any abstentions?
No.
One. That's carried. Thank you. So we then move on to item 10, to ratify the CCTV policy as amended. Councillor Fred Cagle.
I'd like to propose that we ratify the CCTV policy as amended.
Thank you.
It's been amended to reflect the fact that Torbay Council are now technically the data processor. We're still the data controller, but because we're outsourcing the data access requests and some monitoring to Torbay Council, they are now the data processor, and that's the only change that's been made to the policy, just to reflect that they are a processor.
Can I be allowed to second?
Joe's just put his name forward to second.
Beat me
but, yeah.
Again. Seconded by Joe Webley.
Can I say something, Chair, before we vote?
Yes, Councillor Bailey.
I'd like to personally thank Councillor Fred Cagle. I think he's done an excellent job. I was going to get to Lisa in a moment. I'm pausing for breath.
Thank you.
I think he's done an excellent job with a very able assistant from the Town Park. You started at the top. The guy who wrote the manual for the Home Office, personally coded in my report some time ago. We put a tremendous amount of effort into it, and it's a great success, and thank you very much. And Lisa.
Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you both, because I know, and the working party that does meet occasionally, that's put time and effort into it. So, thank you to everybody.
That's well, how we can start on phase two.
Yeah.
So, do you need a vote?
Yes, I'm just going to go to that. Tim, all those in favour, please show.
Thank you.
Any against? Any abstentions? So I think that's carried unanimously.
May I ask you a question, Chair? Is phase two where we get beamed up to various places? I'll let you know when I'm rather looking forward to that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. So we now move on. We have the date of the next meeting is the 6th of March 2023 at the Town Hall. Thank you all for attending.
Can I just say that we don't normally, in March, we don't normally have a council meeting because we have the annual town meeting. We're looking at a proposed date of the 22nd of March for the annual town meeting, which is not a council meeting. But the girls that put the calendar together didn't realise that we don't normally have a town council meeting and a town meeting in March. So we've left the town meeting date in because if there's business that we've, you know, we need to see to, we've got that date in the diary. But Steve and I will take a view nearer the time if we don't feel that we've got enough for an agenda. We don't want a town meeting, two planning meetings and a town council meeting in 1 month. Might be a bit of overkill. So I'll keep you posted.
What's the date of the burger?
27th of March.
Oh, yeah. Just about make it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't preclude us from having a town meeting anyway, as long as it isn't politicised in any way. It's the way that you know, because it's not a town council meeting, so if we kept the focus on voluntary group presentations, etc., it should be fine. Yeah. Okay.
So on that note, declare the meeting closed at whatever time it is.
10 to 9,
thank you. And thank you all for attending and your input this evening. Thank you all.
Thank you.